Session number 9249, Major Kenneth Scott, Part 1.
You joined the Special Forces Executive in April 1943. How did that come about?
It came about, essentially, because I was a bit fed up with what I was doing. I went out to the Middle East in the 1st Armoured Division. I was in the 7th Field Squadron RE at the time. And after we'd been up and down the Western Desert in the great foray with the Italians and the Germans, the 1st Armoured Division, or 7th Field Squadron, was split into independent armoured brigades. And my particular troop was supposed to be attached to 9th Armoured Brigade. And I was sent to Syria for the formation of the brigade. And this became very protracted. It went on and on and on. During the time I was there, I remember I did a reconnaissance of the railway on the Turkish side of the border between Syria and Turkey to prepare the bridges for demolition. Because at that time, the Germans were... they might have come through Turkey on their way to the Middle East.
Did you do that reconnaissance on your own initiative, or was that ordered?
I did that reconnaissance under orders from, I suppose, I think it was Pyforce I was attached to at the time. I can't quite remember, but I did it under orders.
Did you have to actually cross the frontier to do that?
Yes, I did. But fortunately, the railway was only about 200 or 300 yards away from the frontiers. It wasn't very difficult. It was a rather a barren frontier. But nevertheless, I managed to do a reconnoiter of all the bridges along there, prepared the whole lot for demolition. And that was quite interesting.
Did you go to do this recce on your own?
No, I had driver and one sergeant. We were a party of three. And as far as I remember, we spent perhaps 3 or 4 weeks going carefully along the border from one bridge to another, so that we knew the lie of the land, we knew what the bridges were made of, and we prepared a demolition plan for each bridge.
When you did a reconnaissance of that sort and prepared a demolition plan, was there a standard operational procedure to follow in making an appreciation and then forming that into a plan?
No, it was entirely technical, entirely professional. Here was a bridge of some particular size, some particular span, made of some particular material, and there was a technical way of making sure that the demolition plan worked.
It was looking for stress points.
Looking for the design, method of construction, and the easiest way of attack.
Did you prepare drawings for possible attacks on these bridges?
I can't remember preparing drawings. I prepared a note, I remember, on each bridge. Its location, its size, its description, and the method of attack.
Did you take any photographs?
No. No. But I was in neutral territory at the time, and I didn't.
And in uniform?
And I was in uniform. Yes.
And did this lead to going into SOE, or was that...?
No, that was an interesting part of this diversion between fighting in the Western Desert and waiting for the formation of the 9th Armoured, Independent Armoured Brigade. And after a while, when this brigade didn't appear to form, I was posted to the RE-based depot at Moasca on the Canal Zone. And for 6 months or so, I suppose, I was a desert training officer for new sappers coming out from UK to train them into how to live in the desert. And after 6 months of that, I got a bit fed up. I hitchhiked a trip to Cairo. I presented myself at GHQ, the military secretary. And I said, surely you have a better job for me than training sappers in the RE-based depot. So he said, would you like to go to Greece? And I said, yes, fine. And that's how I became to join SOE.
Having said you'd like to go to Greece, what did you have to do next?
I had to go through a parachute training course, and that was at Camp David in Palestine, and an associated get fit sort of course. And I seem to remember that entailed, at the end of it, being taken out in a truck and dropped with two or three other chaps in Jordan, somewhere in Jordan. And we were told that we had to get back to our camp at Camp David within the course of 4 or 5 days. We had to cross the border, that the border was guarded, that no special provision had been made for us to cross, and if we were caught, we would probably fetch up in jail. And on the border, we would find, if we were in the right place, a power station. We had to get into the power station. We had to prepare a demolition plan for its demolition. And we had to report back to base within this 3 or 4 day time.
Had this exercise been preceded by any theoretical lectures in escape and evasion?
Not as far as I can remember. But it's a long time ago, and I think my memory is a bit vague on it. We did a number of things, I know, apart from parachuting. But precisely what we did, I honestly can't remember.
How long was the course?
Must have been 2 or 3 weeks, I suppose.
Did you find the pre-jump training particularly hard?
No, because I'm basically a very fit chap, and I was particularly fit at that time. I didn't find it at all hard. I enjoyed it very much.
How many actual jumps did you have to do?
I suppose 10 or 12, and one at night, or two at night.
Were they low-level jumps or...
They were low-level jumps, 200 or 300 feet.
What were you jumping out of?
I haven't the vaguest idea. It was an aeroplane with a hole in the bottom of it, not a door. One had to sit over the edge of the hole and drop out of the hole. It was probably a Wellington or something like that, I think.
Sounds like an old Whitley.
Could be an old Whitley, yes, could be.
Who actually gave you this jump training?
I haven't the vaguest idea. Can't remember. But I do know that somebody, it must be either the Army or SOE, had a parachute training establishment in the Canal Zone before that, and it was moved from there to Camp David in Jerusalem, in Palestine. But what organisation it was, I can't remember.
How many of you were there doing this course?
Perhaps 10 or 12.
And were...
Small number.
Were most of you bound for Greece?
No, this was... As I remember it, it was an SOE course, and one didn't know. I didn't know at that time that I was going to Greece. I was told that there was a job, and that was fine, but you must go and get some training and then we'll sort you out. I didn't know definitely that I was going to Greece. I didn't know where I was going. But I had indicated a wish to go wherever I was wanted on this sort of operation.
Did they give you any specific training in particular forms of communication?
None.
Or language?
None.
Having done your 3 week jumping course and escape and evasion exercise, what happened then?
I came back to Cairo, reported to MO4, I think it was known as in those days, and within a very short space of time it was established that I was going into Greece, and I was going in with two other sappers, that we were going on in an operation that was described as Operation Washing, which was the demolition of the Asopos Bridge, the Asopos Viaduct. and that we would be leaving, hopefully on the April moon, or the April moon, I think. And that we should, the party was formed, we were given what was known as a conducting officer who looked after all our needs. We were living in a flat in Cairo. And he looked after all our needs and took us out to an airfield in the Western Desert, which I should know very well and I've forgotten at the moment. No, can't remember. We missed the April moon, or at least we went for the April moon and got over Greece, couldn't find the dropping zone, couldn't find the flares, and came back. So we waited in this particular airfield in the Western Desert for another month and managed to get over on the second occasion.
What sort of airplane did you go over in?
Same sort of aeroplane that I trained in. It was a thing with a hole in the bottom, where we had to sit over the hole and drop out.
Presumably it was an
RAF
aircraft.
RAF aircraft, yes.
How long did the flight take?
Oh, I would imagine it was 2 or 3 hours. I think 2 or 3 hours, that sort of flight. Not very long.
And what sort of equipment and kit did you take with you?
No luxuries, not even a blanket, just the normal kit that one would take on a weekend, quite honestly, plus demolition stores as a separate exercise.
Were they sent out on the same drop with you?
Sent on the same drop, yes.
And you were in uniform?
In uniform, yes.
What sort of terrain were you parachuting into?
Mountains. Mountains covered with fir trees. And very high mountains, too. North of Athens. North of north of Delphi. In an area between Delphi and Lamia.
Was the flight out uneventful?
Completely, yes. Yes.
How did the drop go?
Drop went very well. It was a clear night. We saw the flares. We saw the pattern. We were told that is the dropping zone. We will do one round, one dummy round, then we will come in. When the green light flashes, off you go.
On static line?
On static line.
And all three arrived safely?
All three arrived safely, with our stores.
Who was there to meet you?
A New Zealander called Lieutenant Colonel Arthur Edmonds, who had been with the original mission that went out the previous winter under Brigadier Eddie Myers to tackle the Gorgopotamus Viaduct. And Arthur Edmonds had been left behind in this particular area to look after the British mission to Greece in that particular area. So we were met by Arthur Edmonds plus one or two Greeks. Bearded figures with bandoliers of bullets and large guns and things.
Sounds terribly Byronic.
Very, very much so, yes.
And what happened then? You were taken away, presumably, from the drop zone.
Taken away from the drop zone, I landed in a tree, and it took quite a long time to extricate myself from the tree. Taken away to the local village, which was way up in the mountains, a village called Anatoli. And we stayed there for a week or so before we started preparations for the particular operation that we'd come out to do.
How much briefing had you been given before you went off to Greece? Were you given a very extensive briefing and set of orders, or were you given those when you arrived?
A very informal briefing. We were told that we were going to report to Brigadier Myers, who was in charge of the mission in Greece, that Eddie Myers had asked for three sappers for this particular operation, that we would receive all our instructions and orders when we got there. Here's some explosives, off you go. That sort of briefing.
Purely verbal?
Purely verbal. Purely verbal.
What did you do in your week in the village before you started making preparations?
I had managed to find some drawings of the Asipos viaduct in Cairo before I left, and I knew the sizes of the main girders. And we spent our time in the village in finding and shaping wood so that we could use the wood as formers for the explosive charges, for the explosives that we knew we'd have to form to do the demolition. So we were working in the village on the particular operation.
How large was this village?
Oh, by our standards, a hamlet. Perhaps 10 or 12 houses on a mountain top.
And was it fully inhabited?
Yes. Yes, by local people, a few local people. But the main occupants were the Greek guerrillas. And they had their headquarters there in this particular village, I think because of its isolation.
How far away was it from the nearest sizable place? You said it was north of Delphi or near Delphi.
It would be 2 days' walk, I suppose. 2 or 3 days' walk to Delphi. And 2 or 3 days' walk to another major centre, Lamia, in the north. Distance, it would be perhaps 30 miles each way.
Presumably then there were no motorable roads in the vicinity.
No roads at all. Goat tracks. No roads at all.
How did the local people get their living?
Oh, they were basically farmers. They grew grapes for wine. They made wine and the local liquor. And they grew crops for their goats.
How did they receive you? Villagers, as opposed to the guerrillas?
We didn't really have access to the villagers. There were very few of them. And the local guerrillas were very much in command of the situation, and they dictated precisely what had to happen all the time. The villagers didn't have any say at all. Their function in life at that time was to provide food.
And how did you get on with the guerrillas themselves? What impression did they make on you?
Extremely difficult, because I couldn't speak a word of Greek at the time.
And could none of them speak any English?
None at all. Not a word. Not a word. We had no contact, other than slapping each other on the back and that sort of thing, but no contact at all at that time.
What about the New Zealander who received you? Did he have any Greek?
I don't think he did, really. But he had an interpreter that he found from somewhere and used the interpreter to discuss whatever with the local guerrilla commander.
Who actually made the plan of attack on the bridge, as opposed to the technical plan for its demolition? Was it this Brigadier Myers, or...?
It was, yes, Eddie Myers and Arthur Edmonds. The original plan was to get a combined force of guerrillas to attack the bridge, neutralise the guard, and then the sappers would come along and place the explosives and do the demolition. That was the original plan. And Eddie Myers turned up in the village 2 or 3 days after we landed to talk with Arthur Edmonds to finalise the plan and to talk with the guerrilla commanders on how it should be done. And this is when the whole thing came adrift, because the guerrillas decided that the target was too difficult for them to attack. It was up a gorge. And the only way that they could attack was either along the railway on a train or from the plane up the gorge. And they decided that either method was really not acceptable to them, and they withdrew. They just asked to be excused from the operation.
How did Brigadier Myers react to that news?
Well, it evolved itself over a period of about 7 days while they were arguing with the local guerrillas. It's a discussion with the Greeks anyway is a protected affair. And this one, where there was face involved, of course, it took a long, long time.
Because they were trying to avoid the operation without appearing to.
That's exactly what they were trying to do. But eventually, when the cards were put on the table, it was quite clear that they didn't wish to have anything to do with it.
Thinking about it in retrospect, and having been to the viaduct, do you think that their apprehensions were reasonable?
Yes, I do. I think there were two reasons for it. Firstly, it was an extremely difficult operation. It was in a very isolated position. It was a long way up from the river. It was a viaduct that could only be entered from either side through two tunnels. It was very heavily guarded at that time by the Germans, because the Italians, who had been guarding the Gorgopotamus viaduct further north, had failed, and the Germans took over the guarding of all the main viaducts. So it was very heavily guarded. It was a difficult operation.
Did the Germans have field works or concrete fortifications?
Yes, they had concrete pillboxes, they had heavy and light machine guns, and they had searchlights. So the conclusion from the Greek point of view was not at all unreasonable. It was a hell of a difficult target to attack.
How many were there in this Greek guerrilla band? What were the numbers?
Well, they could have mustered 200 or 300 or 400 people. They had a lot of people available. But the difficulty would be to get those people in the right place at the right time to do the right job. And when you're dealing with a viaduct that is perhaps 200 or 300 feet above the level of a river, with steep rock cliffs on each side, it is extremely difficult to do very much about it. You can loose off a lot of bullets from down at the bottom, but it would be quite worthless. One had to somehow or other get onto the bridge itself and neutralise the guard, and this was the difficulty.
And I would presume that the guerrillas didn't have heavy weapons.
No, they had no heavy weapons at all. They had something equivalent to the Bren gun and the 303.
So, presumably the plan for an attack on the guard and then the sapper demolition party to go and do its job had to be abandoned. What plan did evolve?
That had to be abandoned. And Eddie and Arthur, with our support, decided that the only possible way of doing it was by a stealth operation. That somehow or other the Brits had to find a way to the bridge and do it as a stealth operation. And that was the initial reconnaissance that we made on the area ourselves.
How far away was the target from the village where you'd been staying?
Oh, I suppose it was 12 or 14 hours walk, that sort of thing. Maybe 2 days walk. But remember, 2 days walk over mountain territory, not 2 days walk on the flat. And there were tremendous gullies and forests to go through. So it was a good 2 days walk.
And did you all go on this reconnaissance? Was it just a small party?
No, the party was established with Jeff Gordon Creed in command, with a New Zealander called Don Stott, who was what you call these chaps who are... Oh, I can't remember it, and the name will come back. Anyway, there was Don Stott, and there were three sappers. Myself, Pat Wingate, and where the other member's going? Harry McIntyre. Pat Wingate was a regular officer and a major at that time. I was an emergency officer and a captain at that time. And Harry McIntyre was a lieutenant, also emergency officer. And the intention was that Gordon Creed and Stott would help the sapper party to get to the bridge, and the sappers would get on the bridge and lay the charges.
I know about Gordon Creed having been a Gloucestershire Hussar, I think. What was Stott's origin?
Stott was a New Zealander and had been involved in, I think, with the special boat squadron in the Eastern Mediterranean for some time before he went to landed in Greece. I think he could perhaps be described as a commander. With commando training.
Do you happen to know if he was a regular?
I don't know. But after Greece, he went back to Australia, went out to the Far East, and was killed in some operation in the Pacific against the Japs.
How did the guerrillas react when you went off to do yours?
They didn't know about it. They weren't told.
So you just
They faded. The plan having dissolved, the guerrillas just faded. Or the bosses just faded. They didn't know what we were going to do, and we didn't tell them.
You mentioned them only having